Today's Daf Yomi Shir is Daf Chof Tes, and we'll also try to do Mietz Hashem Daf Lamed Omer Aleph. We pick up on the top of Daf Chof Tes with the words Rav Omar, three lines from the top. Yesterday we had brought down in the Mishnah, Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, and we gave one explanation for it. Today we'll begin three lines again from the top on Chof Tes Omer Aleph with the words Rav Amar. He's going to give us a different explanation. Hainu time of the Rabbi Lezer. This is the reason that Rabbi Lezer says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to use the folded garment for a wick on lighting for the Shabbos candles. Lefi shein madlikim bepsilo sheino mechoreches. The reason is you're not allowed to use a wick that has not been lit beforehand. I mentioned yesterday in the shir that there is a very beautiful custom that when the husband sets up the candles for his wife, he lights the wick. So Rabbi Eliezer says, you must do that. It's not just a nice custom. And if you don't do that, if the wick hasn't been lit beforehand, you're not allowed to use it because it's not going to burn well. And likewise, lobis smartutin, shein michorochen. And likewise, smartutin are shmatas, the rags. You're not allowed to use smartutin unless they have been also lit beforehand. They're burned beforehand so that they will light properly. Tells us over here in the Dibra Masra Velos Bas Besmartutin, he says, Kosha, Kivan de Tonaf da Filu Psilo Shenu Mechurecha Se Madlikin, if you can't even use a wick that wasn't lit beforehand, so Kosha can Smartutin Shenu Mechurecha, because they're certainly not going to burn as well as a wick, and if the wick must be lit, so then certainly the Shmatas must be lit as well. However, Tosus brings down a different girsa that makes this question not a problem. According to the girsa of the Tosefta, it's you can't use a smartutin even if they are lit. That's how poorly they're going to light. And the concern over here is that if it lights poorly, they're going to come to do havara on Shabbos. So this is Rava's explanation for Rabbi Lez and the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva obviously disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's still going to be able to burn okay, and you're not going to necessarily come to adjust it. Okay. Gemara says, wait a second, if this is Rava's opinion, Elohodotoni Rav Yosef, we have the Brisa that Rav Yosef taught us yesterday, Sholosh al Sholosh mitzum tzomos, lamai hilchasa. So you have over here three etzbos. Again, Sholosh is feminine, so it's talking about etzbos. That we said in the Brisa that if you have a 3x3 etzbos exactly, it's a din for something. So in yesterday's shiur, we gave an explanation to fit in very nicely because you're dealing over here with whether it's mekabel tumah or not. But if we're not saying it has anything to do with mekabel tumah, so then what is that brisa talking about? L'may hilchasa. So Gemara says, no, it is l'inyan tumah, but it's for a different aspect. It's not. Shalosh al shalosh sh'amru. That which we said, that it must be 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos, we had that in the previous Mishnah, in order for a cloth to be mekabel tumah, so that was chutz min hamilol. That, in the Mishnah, when we discussed that, was talking about without the milol. The milol is the hem. That's the part that they would take around this piece of cloth that was ripped, and they would use it as a patch, but they have to go and hem it off. So when we said that the minimum shear for something to be mekabel tumah is at least 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos, that meant not including the milol. That was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And the Chachamim Omrim, no, Shalosh Shalosh Michuvanos. It must be, even over here, exactly 3x3 etzbos over here, is including over here the Milol. In other words, the opinion of the Chachamim is that you need a smaller, slightly smaller amount over here. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon is that it is 3x3, and then you need a little bit extra space over here for the Milol. Whereas the opinion of the Chachamim is no, even if it's 3x3, even if there is no extra room for the Milol, the hem, so then it's going to still be accepting Tumah. So therefore, when the Brisa that Rabbi Yosef brought down says it's Shalosh HaShalosh Mitzum Tzamos, that's telling us that the Halach is like the Chachamim's opinion and not the extra little bit that you need for the Milol, according to Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara says, according to the explanation we gave yesterday, that it's considered no lad. Then when you have this garment over here that is folded up, so you're now creating wood, so to say, you're creating something that can be burned, and that's a nolad. It was a garment beforehand, and now it's nolad. So I'm reviewing the Marav. Further following up on this question of nolad, he says, Mesiki Mikalim, you can actually take a wood chair and use that on yontif as firewood, because it's not muktza, it's a chair, and therefore, if you want to, you could actually burn it, because it's not muktza. However, if that chair breaks on yontif, so now it was nolad that it became firewood on yontif, because it's no longer a chair, so it's muktza. And something that's nolad is not allowed to be used. So therefore, you paradoxically could burn the intact chair, but if it breaks on yontif, then you can't burn the pieces of the chair as firewood. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Yehuda, and this is based upon the concept of nolad. It's muktza. It's a new type of entity, and therefore it didn't exist beforehand. It's not prepared. It's therefore muktza, called nolad, and you can't use it. That's the opinion of Yehuda. Rishima says no. There is no concept over here of muktza. The famous machlokas of Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon throughout the Gemara and Shabbos and throughout Shas is, do we or do we not hold muktzah? Yehuda is more concerned with muktzah. It's not 100%. And Rabbi Shimon says, I'm not concerned with muktzah, also not 100%. But this would be an example. Rabbi Shimon says, this is matir, it's not nolad. Now, we keep on going. This machlokas over here, Rav says, also exists in two other cases as well. So the first case over here is the shivrei kelim versus the kelim. The second and third cases are as follows. The second one is mesikim b'tmarim. One is allowed to go and take dates over here, tmarim and dates, and light them on Shabbos to use them as fuel. Okay. However, if you ate them acholon, so now you're left with just the pits. It's ein masikin begarinei. You can't use the pits as firewood over here. Again, l'shitas divrei Rabbi Yehuda, it is nolad, and therefore you can't use it. And again, Rabbi Shimon is matir because he says it's not considered nolad. That's case number two. Tomorrow we'll ask in a moment. So what's the chiddush? He just taught me this din of nolad. I got it. Rabbi Yehuda says nolad. Rabbi Shimon says no nolad. So why you need another case to tell me that? Before we get to that answer, we'll have one more case, which is the exact same thing. Mesikim begozin, you're allowed to take these walnuts and go and use them as firewood on Yontif. It's not a problem because they're perfectly eligible to be eaten, and therefore there's no problem with using them. Something that is able to be used is not muktzah, and therefore you could use it for whatever you want, including firewood. However, acholin, after you ate the walnuts and all you have left is the shells, ein mesikim beklipposein. You can't use the shells. Diri Yehuda. Why not? Again, nolad. These shells were not present, so to say, in the state as shells. They were surrounding the walnut, but they weren't used as a fuel beforehand, and they're not allowed to be used now because they're nolad. That's the opinion of Yehuda, exactly as we had in the previous two cases, and Rabbi Shimon Matir, exactly in the two previous cases, he doesn't hold from nolad. So they all seem to be saying the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda holds nolad, Rabbi Shimon doesn't. So what's the chiddush in each case? So Gemara says, no, you need all three cases. The Yashmina Kamaisa, if you only had the case of the Kalim and the Shivrei Kalim, you know what I would have said? Bahai Kamar the Rav Yehuda, in that situation, and in only that situation, does Rav Yehuda hold no lot. Why? Mishum Dimikara Kli, because originally it's a chair. Bahashto Sherikli, and now it's a broken chair. So originally it had the status of being a Kli, and now it's no longer a Kli. It's no lot. Bahavale no lot. And therefore, Va'osar. However, I will tomorrow the dates. Beforehand there were dates, and afterwards the dates. Mekara garinin, before there were seeds inside the date. Vahashta garinin, and now there are still seeds. They didn't change. The chair was a chair, and now it's broken wood. So therefore, there's a difference. But one could argue that therefore, by the tamarim, there were seeds beforehand, and now there's seeds. Emer shaper dummy. In this situation, maybe even Rav Yehuda would be moded that that's not nolad, and therefore it might be able to be burned on Yontif. Therefore, along comes Rav and tells us, no, even in the case of the dates, their seeds are originally, when it's intact, not nolad, it's edible, but once you've eaten it, so now the seeds are nolad. V'yashmin and garinin, and if you only told me the garinin case, so then you know what I would have said. Don't tell me the case of the chair. Havamina, I would have said that the meikara mechasyon v'hashtu megayin, in the situation where originally the seeds of the dates were actually covered up, and only now they become nigla, and therefore, maybe in this situation, that's why it's called nolad. Oh, avol klipe gozen, but the shells of the walnut, they're on the outside. They were visible beforehand. The mekara migalu, they were just as visible beforehand. Vahashto migalu, and now they're still visible. So what difference does it make whether they're intact around the seed or whether they're broken? They're visible beforehand. So ema shaper dami. I would have said in this situation, it's not nolad. Therefore, tzricha. In each case, we needed to tell us something about Rav Yehuda's viewpoint that we wouldn't have known if we didn't have each of these cases. Mara continues and says, "V'ha'ad de Rav." Rav was the one that said this. That Rav Yehuda holds that it's nolad, and Rav Shimon holds that it's not nolad. So v'ha'ad Rav lat defei shitmar. He didn't explicitly state this. He didn't exactly state this din like we just brought it down. Ela mechlola itmar. It was inferred from something that Rav said. What happened? Not inferred from what Rav said. From a ma'isa shoya. De Rav ochol tamrei. Rav was once eating tamarim. He was eating dates, and this was on a weekday. Others have the girsa lebuvya. He through the pits after he ate them into the oven. Buchi over here is some sort of a tiled oven, Rashi says. In any event, whatever it is, he threw it into this oven. Now, it was a weekday. There's certainly nothing wrong. There's no muktzah, no nolad. So he's doing this in front of his uncle. Amalei Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya is his uncle. It was his uncle on both sides. Rav's mother and Rav's father were both brothers and sisters of Rav Chiya, but through different parents. So they were half brothers and sisters, and then they married each other because they actually were not related to each other. So Rav actually had Rav Chiya as an uncle from both his mother, it was his mother's brother, and also his father's brother, albeit Rav's father and mother weren't related at all to each other. In any event, so throughout Shas, we have stories of Rav Chiya and Rav. So he called them Bar Pachsi, you son of great nobility, you son of royalty. Right? That's the term we use, Bar Pachsi. Kinegdo b'yontov osur. If you were to do this on Yontif, throw these pits that you just ate from these dates into a fire on Yontif, this would be forbidden. Now, that's the Maisa Shahaya, so did Rav or did Rav not accept what Rav Chiya told him? So Gemara says, Kibla mine or lo kibla. Did Rav accept this Taloch l'maisa from Rav Chiya? Did he not have to throw these dates into the oven or not? That's Gemara's question. So Toshma, we're trying to bring a raya. The Chiyosa Rav Lebavel, when Rav came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Ochal Tamre, one time was a Yontif, and he was eating these Tamrim, he was eating these dates, Vishad the Kashiyosa, and he threw the Kashiyosa Rashi says, are the Garin in the pits, to the animals, L'chevosa. So in other words, if they were Muktza, he wouldn't be allowed to feed them to the animals. Yet he fed them to the animals, so therefore they're not Muktza. Now, aren't we talking about my lab but parasiyosa? Aren't we talking about over here the good dates? Rashi says tomorrow tovim umisbashin yofi. They're well mature and ripened. Bechol ochel shlem nifrash mi'al garineyim. And when you eat them, you remove all of the fruit from the seed, and you're left with a dry seed. Ein hagarinin reuyin letaltel. The garinin are garbage, and therefore you're not allowed to play with them. You're not allowed to use them. And therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to throw them to your dog. Yet Rav did it. She says, therefore, you see that he didn't hold like his uncle Rav Chiya. So the Gemara says, not necessarily so. Lo, we're not talking about the good dates, the Parsiyosa dates. We're talking about the Armiyosa dates. Rashi says, they're not so fully mature and ripened. And therefore, they know ochel nifrash mehen. So the fruit doesn't totally come off. There's still pieces of fruit, of date, that are attached to the garin, to the seed, umishtaya bagarinehen, and it's left behind. And therefore, since there's still food on it, it's not muktzah v'chazul yodam. So therefore, we're talking over here with these armiyasa dates, and therefore, hoel v'chazi, agavi mayu, since they're still not muktzah themselves, because of their, quote, mother, imayu means the mother fruit, in other words, the fruit that's still attached to them, so therefore, they're not muktzah. So we can't bring me a raya over here that Rav did not accept Rav Chiya's ruling from this story. Fine, so we don't come to a conclusion as to whether Rav disagreed with his uncle or not. Gemara says, Amalei Rav Shmuel bar bar Chana li Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel bar Chana says to Rav Yosef the following shayla, li Rav Yehuda, according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that we're saying, Domar Masikim Mekalim, Masikim Shiv Mekalim, that there's a problem of no light over here. You can take the chair and light it on Yontif because it's not Muktzah, but once it breaks, Shiv Mekalim, then you're not allowed to use it because of no light. So he says, wait a second. Even the adlik behupurta, even if you take the real chair, which is not muktzah, the minute you put a torch to it, the minute you throw it into the fire, havali shivri kalim, it instantly will break. And now, how can you go and adjust that flame? V'chi ka mahapech, when you go and stoke that fire, you're moving those muktzah pieces of wood. Bisura ka mahapech, how are you allowed to do that? That's the question that Rav Shmuel bar Rav Chana asked Rav Yosef. So he answers, the Ovad Kid Rav Masna, it must be over here that he did what Rav Masna said. Right? What did Rav Masna say? Because we have elsewhere in the Gemara, the Rav Masna, the Rav, what happens if you have a fire and some branches from the tree fall off into the fire? Eitzim shenoshu min adeka l'taner b'yontif. You have a cooking of fire on Yontif and some branches fall off from the tree, from the palm tree that's there, into this fire. Now, what you're allowed to do, because those are muktzah branches, they weren't prepared beforehand, mar be'etzim uchonim, you can take additional firewood, throw it in there, umasikon, and therefore, you now have the majority of good kosher wood, so therefore, it's mevatel. The rov over here is mevatel, the non-kosher wood, the wood that is muktzah, because you now have a majority of good wood, so therefore, you can stir this fire. Now, this is the problem of you're not allowed to be mevatel issa l'chatchila. So how are you allowed to do this? He says you're allowed to go and put additional wood in there. So the Mefarshim explained, no, this is talking about a situation where it wasn't yet lit. So there's nothing wrong with it right now. It's still heter, and therefore you can put in as much wood as you want beforehand. Now you're marb over here. You're allowed to be mevatel heter lechatchila, and therefore it's not a problem. So when the chair was in its full existence, he threw in a bunch of firewood, and then he lit it. So now it was already mevutel by the kosher of firewood that he threw in, even though now it became no good. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Rav Muna Amar, you know what we're talking about? Hocha b'pachos mishlosha al shlosha askinim. We're talking here about between three etzbos and three tfachim. If it's less than three etzbos, it's nothing. It clearly can't accept tumah. But if it's more than three tfachim, so then it's a garment. So it's in between three tfachim and three etzbos. Umikuli matlonish shanukan. And this is a special din over here in regards to these shmatas, these matlonis. He calls them matlonis hakalos bienov, these shmatas that are used for a very insignificant type of a usage. And that's what we're arguing about over here. Va'azda, Rabbi Eliezer, l'taimei. The machlokis over here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is the following. Rabbi Eliezer holds like his shita, Rabbi Akiva, l'taimei, and Rabbi Akiva holds like his shita. What is that? It's not. Because we learned in the Mishnah in Kalim, Pachos mishlosha shlosha she'eskinu lefkok bo esamerchot. We're talking about it's not a full-fledged garment, or else this thing wouldn't get off the ground. So it's between three etzbos and between three tfachim. Pachos mishlosha shlosha, less than three tfachim. She'eskinu lefkok bo esamerchot. So using it sort of as a stopper of some sort. You're going to plug up some sort of a pipe that you have in the merchot, in the bathhouse. It's not a real clear usage, but it's still some usage. Or alternatively, ulanarbo sekdera. You're going to use it over here as like a potholder to pour out the stuff that you have in the canary. You don't burn yourself, so you use this shmata over here to go and hold it. Or ulukanechbo sirichayim. You're using it as a shmata to clean up the grinding stone over here, the millstone, the rechayim. And then you put it away afterwards. So, bein min hamuchan, whether it was put away in a formal place, as we'll see, ubein shenu min hamuchan, or whether it was put away in a place that's not considered a formal way of putting it away, tame. This is still considered a significant amount because you put it away. Divri Rabbi Eliezer. This is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that this is a valid kli over here. However, for Rabbi Yeshua Meir, here we have another opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, which we'll see is ultimately going to be the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. It's not really going to be three opinions. It looks like it's three opinions, but ultimately it'll be two opinions. And he says, no. Whether you put it away in some sort of a good storage or a not such a good storage, tar. It's a shmata, and it can't be makabel tuma, because even though you put it away, it's the shmata. It's not considered significant, and therefore it's not makabel tuma. And Rikiva has an in-between shita, what sounds like an in-between shita. Rikiva mer, minamuchan tome. If you put it away in a regular place, in other words, you wanted to put it away, you demonstrated you wanted it, so then it's makabel tuma. So then tome. But if you just tossed it somewhere, so even though you didn't throw it away, it's considered lomen amuchan, and it is not considered a valuable kli. It's insignificant, and it is tar. Now, V'amar Ula commented on this. V'itema Rabba Barachanan, Rabbi Yochanan. Alternatively, it was Rabba Barachanan named Rabbi Yochanan, that these three mandi amars over here, Rabbi Elezer, Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva, Hakol Molden, they all actually agree that Zroko Biashba, Direkol Tar. If you threw it in the garbage after you used it as this insignificant usage, uses a stopper for a pipe, or you used it over here for a shmata to clean something. So in this situation, everybody agrees if you threw it in the garbage to the base, hey nichu bekufsa. But if you put it away in your drawer, so then you clearly are demonstrating, yeah, this is my shmata drawer. This is where I keep all the shmatas, and I want to still use them. So therefore, diri akol tami. Even Rabbi Akiva and certainly even Rabbi Yoshua would say in this situation that it's tami. Where they having their three way machlokis, lechelku elishutlo b'magod. If you hung it up on a hook, a magod, Rashi says over here is something called kabila, which is less than a kufsa, garami kufsa, so it's not as good as putting it in a drawer. However, va'adif me'achor yadelis, but it's still better than just tossing it behind the door, which will be the next level. So we have several levels of importance over here. If you put it in your drawer, that's everybody agrees, that's storing it away. If you put it on this hook behind the door, or if you put it on the floor behind the door, those are the next two levels. The hook is a higher level than on the just behind the door. And then if you throw it in the ashba, that's obviously throwing it away. So in the kufsa, it's definitely stored and throwing it away. In the ashba, it's definitely not. That's, we said, there's no machlokis. So in the situation that they're arguing, it's only when they hung it on the hook, that's the highest level other than the drawer. Or the next level behind that is they just put it behind the door. So Rabbi Eliezer saw Rabbi the Lozor Kobiash. Rabbi Eliezer says, as long as you didn't throw it away in the garbage, so then it shows you still want it, daite ilave, and therefore it's still considered a kli, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. Mora says, v'amai, how come? That's the right, the years over here, not v'amai. It should be v'amai, that's what the Bach changes it to. V'amai, kari le shalom min amuchan. So why does Rabbi Eliezer refer to this as lo min amuchan if it's considered muchan? So Gemara says, no, the legabi kos lav muchan, it's all relative. When he said min amuchan, min lo min amuchan, he meant whether it's the most muchan or something that's lesser muchan. So the most muchan is the kufsa, and the lesser muchan is the magod. Fine. Or even behind the door. As long as you didn't put in the ashba, it's still considered muchan. The legabi kufsa lav muchan, because in regards to the kufsa, neither of them is considered muchan, but in regards to the ashba, they're both considered muchan. That's why Rabbi Eliezer says it's makabel tuma. New Rabbi Yeshua, the other extreme. So midalo hinicha b'kufsa. If you don't put it in the drawer, even though you didn't put it in the ashba, that means that you're bevatalit, batule batle, and therefore anything but the kufsa is not considered a kli. New vamai. Again, we change the gears from mai to vamai. My korli muchan. So why does he call it muchan over here? Is that really called muchan? So he says, yeah, the legabi ashba muchanu. In regards to the garbage dump, so then even the hook or behind the door is considered muchan. And Rabbi Akiva, he's the in-between position. Rabbi Akiva, bitlo b'mogod sovakuri lezer. He says, there's two levels over here, the hook on the door or on the floor behind the door, so to say. So I hold that the hook on the door is like the kufsa, and I hold on the floor is like the ashba. And that's the in-between position of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, b'tlal b'mogod sovar k'Rabbi Elazar, if you hung it up on the hook, he says that's prepared like Rabbi Elazar, and therefore it's kabel tuma. But b'nicha, charei adelis, if you threw it on the floor behind the door, sovar like Rishu, that's like the ashpa. So therefore, we have these three opinions over here. However, the Gemara says, b'hadi Rabbi Kiva, l'gavir Yeshua. Ultimately, Rabbi Kiva, he was a Talmud, actually, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and he ultimately retracted his middle ground position, and he came all the way over to Rabbi Yeshua's position. How do we know that? Mimai. So where it says, Amarava, midiktane psilas habeged, because our Mishnah, it said, psilas habeged. My area, the tani psilas habeged. Why does he say that it's a wick over here that is made out of a beged? He should have just said, listne psila shel beged, a psila that is a beged. For the fact that he said, my psilas habeged, he specifically used this term, a wick made from a garment, implying the Adayin Begidu. He's telling us that it has the halachic status of a Begid, and the only one who would say that would be the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that as long as it isn't thrown in the garbage, it has the halachic status of a Begid, so too in our Mishnah, for the fact that he called it Psilas a Begid and not Psila Shel Begid, shows that he retracted his opinion and holds like Rabbi Yeshua. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and tells us, Lo Yikov Adim Shvo Feri Shel Beitza V'malena Shemen V'yitnena Al Pianer B'shul Shishtehei Minatefis. Now, what are we talking about here? This is a contraption. So you have over here your lamp that is filled with oil, and it has a wick in it, but you want to refill it, but it's filled to the top. You're not allowed to refill it on Shabbos. So what do? You set up a contraption, okay? You put a hollowed-out egg, you blow out the inside of an egg, and you make it into a container. And what do? You fill that up with oil, and you make a little hole at the other end so it will drip out. So as the flame is burning up the oil in your bottom lamp holder, new oil is going to be constantly dripping in. And that's what's called this contraption over here, that you're putting it, it's not physically attached, but it will drop oil into it in order that over here, you'll continue to have oil for all Shabbos, even though you've already filled it to the maximum, but it will replace it. So the opinion of the Tanakhama is, Vafilu hi shel cheres. You're not allowed to do all this. Maybe I didn't make that clearly. Lo yikov adam shel cheres. You're not allowed to do any of this. And the concern is because you may come to take some of the oil out of the egg container, and that would be a malacha of kibbutz because you're causing it to light less because all of that oil would drip in. But now if you take some out, you need some on your salad, so you're going to go take some of the oil out. So therefore, you're not allowed to do this. And even the Mishnah adds, afilu yishol cheres, even if it's something that is disgusting, if instead of the eggshell you used a kli cheres, which would make it very, very unappetizing and unhygienic, and you wouldn't then go and take that, so there's no concern, you'll come to be mechabe by taking some of the oil out. Nevertheless, you're not allowed to do this. Low plug, you're not allowed to do this over here. As Rashi points out, in Dibra Masko, Shetei Ben Atefes, he says that, Mishum gzeira shema yistapik. You may come to take from it, hemenu, the kivan sheik tseyu liner, once you designate it for the flame, chayav mishum mechaba. Any oil that you take out is going to be kiboy, diminishing the flame. Even if it's disgusting, the meisale nevertheless gazerina. Low plug, the rabbi said across the board. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Ryu says, no problem. You're allowed to do this. I'm not concerned over here. Because the fact that you see it dripping into the oil over here is going to remind you. It's not like it's in an abstract place. It's right there above the lamp. And as soon as you go to take it, you see that it's dripping in, so you're not going to go and do it. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. However, Aval im chibro hayotze mitchila, the Tanakhama will agree to Rabbi Yehuda if it's attached. Once it's fully attached, if the person who put this all together didn't just make this contraption over here in a crazy way, but he really soldered it all together, so then there's no concern, because it's clear that the person's going to realize this is one oil lamp and not some egg with oil in it above the lamp. Because it's one kli, if it's one kli, there is no concern that you'll come to be mistopic from it, that you'll take it. Similarly, a person's not allowed to go and fill up a bowl of oil and then go put it next to a lamp that has a wick in it. So you have the part of the wick that's sticking up from the other oil, which is lit. And then you take the bottom of the wick and you transfer it all the way into the second cup. So it will draw out the oil from the second cup. So likewise, this is like having a second cup, like the egg above the lamp, and it's going to draw out the oil. You're not allowed to do this. The Tanakhama says you're not allowed to do this. And not surprisingly, Rabbi Yehuda Mati, Rabbi Yehuda says you are allowed to do this. Same exact reasoning. He's not concerned that you're stopping from it. He says you're going to know that it's separate utensil. It's not for eating purposes. And therefore, there's no concern. You can use it. Now, we actually have three cases in the Mishnah. We had the first case with the egg, then we had with the Kli Cheres, and then we had the next case, which was the Rosh HaPsila B'socha. So, why do we need three cases to teach us the same din? We got it. The Tanakhama is concerned Shemi Yistapik, and the opinion of Yehuda is they're not concerned Shemi Yistapik. So, Gemara says, Utsricha, you need all three cases. Why? The Ashmina Shofar Shobetz, if you only taught me the case of the Shofares, the egg case, so then, Behal Kami Rabbanit. In that situation, the rabbis were concerned. The Kivin Lomisa, because it's not disgusting. The eggshell, you know, was holding your egg in it. You just ate the egg in it, so it's not disgusting. So, Ase Liz Tapukimine, a person may go and take some oil from it, because it's not disgusting. Avo Shofares, the Misa, but this oil that's in the Klicheres, that's disgusting. Nobody's going to use that. And therefore, you might have thought, the rabbis would be masking that Rabbi Yehuda is right. If it's disgusting, you're not worried about Shema Yistapik. It's only if it's nice and clean that Shema Yistapik. So therefore, that's why you need to tell me the second case. No, so just tell me the second case. The Yeshmin Shocheres, just tell me the Chereshal case. You know what it would have said? Behal Kamar Rabbi Yehuda. Only in that case would Rabbi Yehuda say, nah, nobody's going to take it because it's disgusting. Avo Behi, but you know, Taka, in the eggshell case, Emamodi Lurabonin. You know, Taka and Rabbanin are right. A person may come to take from it. And therefore, in this situation, you have to show me the strength of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that even in that situation argues. Oh, so that's why we need the first two cases in the Mishnah. No, why do we need the third one? Because V'yashmina Nanaftati, if you only told me the first two cases, I would have said, Bahani Kama Rabbi Yehuda, only in that situation, Mishum Delo Mifsak, because there's nothing that's separating them over here, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would tell us and hold over here that nobody's going to make a mistake in this situation, because it's like one kli, even though they're not mechuber together. Avo ka'ara demifsika, but in the case where you have the two bowls over here and you have the wick connecting them, they don't look like they're really connected, and therefore, emamod lul rabbanim. Maybe he actually is maskim to the rabbanim. In that situation, I would worry about shemi stopping. No, and just tell me that one. So just tell me that one. I would have said only there. Bahi kamar rabbanan over there. Yeah, that's semi stopping. Abu bani tati. But in the first two, maybe taka and modlu reviewda. He would say, yeah, that's really unlikely that somebody would be stopping. So therefore, tzricha, you need all three cases to accent the strength of each one of the shitos of Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama. Then we said, however, everybody's masking, even the Tanakhama is masking Rabbi Yehuda. Even chibra yotzi mitchila muta. If you physically attach them, it's okay. Mara says, Tana, we learned in a braisa, im chibra besid ubecharsis, if you went and attached it with some sort of a sid, is like a lime or a plaster, and charsis is like a pieces of clay, a broken pottery, let's say, so then it would be allowed. It would be mutter, even according to the opinion of the Chacham. But our Mishnah said, Vanan yotzer tanan, but we said in our Mishnah it has to be done by a professional, and the Braisa doesn't seem to say it has to be done by a professional, so it may not be really attached very well. So Gemara says, no, my yotzer, when our Mishnah said yotzer, it meant kain yotzer. It didn't literally mean a professional. It had to be solidly hooked together. If it's solidly together, so then, as Rashi says, it's perfectly good. Shechov v'shapir. It's well connected, and that's all that counts. The Braisa says, Tanya, I'm Rav Yehuda, pam achas, shaboseinu ba'aliyas beis nizzeh b'lud. Rav Yehuda says, one time we spend Shabbos. Shaboseinu is an interesting word over here. It's a verb. So we Shabbos in the attic over here, the aliyah of beis nitzah. Nitzah was somebody's house, and it was in b'lud, in the city of Lud. So they stayed there for Shabbos. They set up this contraption over here with the Shofaris of Beitza above the oil lamps. So we did this exactly. We made them have enough light. So the regular lamp was filled up. So we added this extra reserve, this reservoir over here. We filled it up with the egg with oil. We made a little hole in it, and we put it over the lamp, and we used this contraption. Now, obviously, Rav Yehuda holds like himself. He's the Tana Rav Yehuda, and that's his Shita. But there were other Tanaim over there that were older than him. V'ayosham Rabbi Tarfon, who's Kenim. Rabbi Tarfon, who was from the previous generation. Rav Yehuda is the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon are Bali Plukta. And the Zakenim, the other Tanoim from the previous generation. And below Armelon and Dover, they didn't say boo. Rabbi Yehuda said they allowed it. And therefore it is permissible. My Shita is correct. So that's what the Brisa says. So the other rabbis who were talking to Rabbi Yehuda, when he said this, you see, the Rabbi Tarfon agreed with him, he said, Amrulo, Misham Raya? I bring me a Raya from over there? No. That was a unique situation. Shine Beis Nitza. That people that lived in this Beis Nitza, in this house over here, they were Yerei Shemayim. This reason, they were very, very careful in the performance of the mitzvos, and therefore, the Chazal didn't have to make any takonos for them. But for everybody else, you do have to go and make takonos. Nadigmore gives us another story, very similar to this story over here that we just had with Rabbi Yehuda in the Beis Nitza. So the Gemara tells us, Ovin Tziporah, Ovin, who came from Tziporah, name of a place, Garar Safsola B'Iliso D'Shesha. He dragged a bench, a safsol, on the Shayish, is normally marble. It means a stone type of a floor. Now this floor was in an attic, that's why it's B'Iliso. Okay? Now, he did this in front of Le'ela mi Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elozer. He did this either in front of, or some suggest over here that it means that it was he was standing above him in some way when he was doing this. In any event, he did this in front of the Gadol Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elozer. And he told him, Amar Le, he told him, I'm not going to be silent like Rabbi Tarfon was in the other situation. Ish stuke lo kiddushasiku leichav raya l'Rabbi Yehuda. If the other people were silent to Rabbi Yehuda in the previous story, so nafot minei churba, it could be a terrible thing. That silence could be assumed that shtiko keoda, and that I agree with you. And therefore, gezeira, no. Elisa de shesha, even the attic over here that has the floor of marble, atu elisa de alma. It has to be over here a normal floor that's dirt. We have to make gzeira, even though there's no chance that you'll make a groove in the marble floor, but we don't allow you to drag something on the marble floor because you may come to make a groove in a dirt floor. And this is a whole separate discussion about a dover she'eino miskaven. A dover she'eino miskaven, you have no intention of making a groove over here. You're not intending to make a ditch over here. You don't want to get the chair from point A to point B. It's a heavy chair. You can't lift it up, so you drag it. So this is a famous machlokes between Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Adover sheino miskaven, even though you have no intention of making the groove over here, that is osur." Rabbi Shimon says, "No, as long as it's not something that you want, so then it's a dover sheino miskaven, and only on Shabbos on melachos tzrichas kavana. You need to have intention to do it, and here you didn't have intention to do it, and therefore it is not a problem. You're allowed to do this." Mora says, another situation, Reish Kinishta, the head of the Beis Knesses. In other words, he was like the Shamish in the Beis Knesses. Rashi says that he would open and close the shul, and he would put the children in their places, etc. He was a Shamish in the shul. The Batsra, and this was in a city called Batsra, Garar Safsolu Le'ela Mirav Yirmiya Rabba, and he dragged such a bench over here, such a safsol, in the presence of, or in front of, over Rav Yirmiya Rabba. Now, Amalei, Rav Yirmiya Rabba tells him, come on, who do you think you're allowed to do this? You're dragging this in the ground? Rabbi Shimon, that Dover Shem Miskaven is allowed? Emor Dover Shem Migdolim. When did Rabbi Shimon say you're allowed to do this? Only if you're carrying something that you can't pick up, and you have to drag it. Delo Evsher. So that's when Bigdolim Diloevsha, when it's a piano, so you can't go and pick up the piano, so you're going to drag it. That's when Rabbi Shimon says, Dover Shem Miskaven is not allowed. But Bigdolim, it's a little chair. This Safsul over here was something you could pick up. Bigdolim, Niyomar, did he say you're allowed to drag something if you don't have to? So he obviously would not agree, and therefore you shouldn't have dragged this thing over here because it's a small item and you should have picked it up. That's the way Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah said is the machlokis over here. The only Yehuda and Rav Shimon are only arguing on something that can't be picked up, but on something that's small that could be picked up, even Rav Shimon is molded. However, Ula had the exact opposite understanding of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And Ula said as follows, they only argue if it's something that could easily be picked up. So there, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't drag it. But Rabbi Shimon says, even there, you'll have to drag it. Abba Bigdoli, you're talking about a piano? Even Rabbi Yehuda says, you'll have to drag it, because what are you supposed to do? You can't lift it up. So we have diametrically opposite approaches over here. Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah, who says they're only arguing in a situation where it's large, but where it's small, everybody's masking, you can't drag it. And you have Ula saying they're only arguing in a situation where it's small. That's where even Rabbi Shimon says it's good, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's not. But if it's large, then everybody says you're allowed to drag it. Now, most of Rabbi Yosef says over here, it says in a Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer are the Mita, Kisei, V'Safsel. Now, this sounds like all of them are large and small. Mita, Kisei, V'Safsel are different sizes. Ubovachli is Kavin Lasus Chorets. As long as you're not intending, it's not a Dovish Miskavin, that you want to make a ridge over here. You're making a ditch in the ground, a furrow in the ground. So, K'tani, G'dolim, K'tani, K'tanim. Now, some of these are large, some of them are small. And yet, they're saying that there's the machlokas over here. Rabbi Shimon says that it's allowed, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's not allowed. So kashel tavayu. This is a problem for both Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah and Ula. Gemara says no. Ula mataritz l'taimei. Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah mataritz l'taimei. Each of them is going to explain this in a different way. Each of them is going to explain it according to their shita. So Gemara says Ula mataritz l'taimei. Ula says that I hold that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are only arguing over here by ketanim. So all of these utensils, the bita, kisei, v'safsel, are ketanim. So ula mataritz l'tameh. Mita dumi l'kisei. This bed is a small bed, just like this small chair. And that's why Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to do this, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to do this. And likewise, with Yirmiyah Rabbah mataritz l'tameh. He says, kisei dumi l'mita. He says, no, it's a chair that's a large chair, like the bed. And therefore, they're only arguing over here in the large case. But in the small case, everybody agree that it's not a machlokas. So therefore, neither one is a problem. Masa Rabbah, but now we're going to shlug up Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah. Mochrik sus, mochrik edarkun. If a person sells garments, now garments could have kilayim in them, so you're not letting go put it on. But the Mishnah says over here, this is a Mishnah kilayim, says that you're allowed to go and sell the garments, you're allowed to wear them in the right way when you're trying to sell them. However, as long as you're not putting on a garment to protect you from the sun, you don't want to get burned, so you're putting on this garment. If that's the reason, then you can't wear it. And likewise, in the rainy season, you're not putting on this raincoat over here to protect you from the rain. You're trying to show it to the person how it looks. But even though that's allowed, since you're not really putting it on to wear, and the Isser of Kilayim is only to wear Kilayim, Hatsnuim, the people that are very careful in their performance of mitzvos, Mavshilim b'makel echarein, they go and hold it up, so to say, against their back. They don't actually wear it, and they show you what it would look like, and therefore they'll sell it that way. Now, Now, everybody could act like the Tznuim, but yet it says you're allowed to do this. Now, the Chiktanim Domi, now, isn't this exactly the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah, who said that there's no machlokas by ketanim, but this is like the ketanim. You could do it. And yet, there's a machlokas over here, since you don't intend to benefit from it, so you're allowed to do this. So, but according to Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah, you shouldn't be allowed to do this, because it's something you could do without it. Go stick the stick up behind your back, and not have to wear it on your back. So therefore, the chi ketanim dami, this is like the case with the ketanim, the chilo miskavin shari of Yerushimu l'chachil, and yet Rabbi Shimon says it's allowed. Therefore, Tiyufta, Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah, Tiyufta. This, in fact, shlugs up Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah Shita, and it is, in fact, a shlugging up. Next Mishnah. Hamachaber Esaner, if somebody puts out a candle on Shabbos, why? If he's concerned because the guy is going to come to kill him if they see the candle there. Or alternatively, Mipnei Listim, because there are armed robbers over there, and they're going to kill him. Again, this is Pikuach Nefashos. Or Mipnei Ruach Ruah, or the person is unfortunately depressed, so much so that it's actually a sakana over here if the light's on, for whatever the reason. So, or Mipnei Acholish Yishan, or because it's a sick person and he's deathly ill, and if you don't put out the light, he's not going to be able to sleep. In all of these situations, Potter. This is, now normally we say Potter, Aval Asr, it's Asr Mid Rabbanim, but here we'll see in the Gemara, this means that all because of Bikuach Nefashos, every one of these situations is actually Mutter. Why does it say Potter? Because to keep parallelism with the end, so therefore it says over here Potter instead of saying Mutter. But in any event, it means l'chatchila, you're allowed to do this, even b'derabon, and it's not a problem. However, if you're doing it, you want to save a couple of bucks, you don't want to have the oil all be used up by the light, you're going to sleep, so why do you need a light on? So you blow it out because you want the light to go out. Or, you want to spare the oil. Either you want to spare the actual lamp itself, or you want to spare the oil, or the wick, chayav. In this situation, you're putting it out on purpose. So that's an issa deraisa. You'd be chayav achatas if you did this by accident. If you forgot it's Shabbos, you'd be over an issa deraisa. But Rav Yossi potter b'chulin. Rav Yossi says, in all of these situations, you're potter. It's allowed to be done, except chutz min apsila, the case of the wick. Because with the wick, because when you're going to do this over here, you're benefiting from the wick. It's now going to become a charcoal. It's going to become a usable item. So therefore, you actually gained by doing this. In all the other situations, you didn't gain from doing anything, so therefore it was potter. But here, you're gaining from it, so this would be a chiyav d'araisa. I heard a beautiful vart from one of my talmidim. He told me that notice how it says the word kichos. If you think you're being merciful, so to say, on the oil, in other words, you want to spare the oil. So I say kichos. You should have said chos al shemen. You're concerned about the shemen. So he brought down a beautiful idea. He said that, in fact, how much money a person makes is set on Rosh Hashanah. So you think you're saving money by doing this, you're not saving a penny. That's why it says kichos. If you think you're saving money, that's why you did this, but you're really not saving a penny. Everything is set by Rosh Hashanah. Beautiful idea. We'll start the Gemara quickly. The Gemara says, Midiktoni Sefer Chayev, from the fact that the Sefer said that you're Chayev for doing this, so obviously we're talking about a Moloch Shein HaTzrich L'Gufa. You have no desire for this object that you're putting out. You just don't want the light. So you're not doing something over here. So Midiktoni Sefer Chayev nevertheless says that you're Chayev if you go to put out the light. You just didn't want to have the oil get wasted. So Shmami Nar Yehudi, this is the opinion of a Moloch Shein HaTzrich L'Gufa. You don't need this over here, yet you're Chayev. So it implies Reisha b'maya skina. So the one we're talking about in the Reisha, we said you're allowed to. So when it says, if you're talking about it's a sick person, a deathly ill person, so then mutter m'boyle. It should have said mutter, you're allowed to do this. Chiv to be mechal Shabbos, to save somebody's life. So therefore, if you're telling me, b'chol shein bo sakana, it's not a deathly ill person, so then chayv chatas boyle. So then you're not going to be over in Issa deraisa for a chol shein bo sakana, a person who doesn't have a life-threatening illness. So what's going on over here? Somewhere it says the teretz I already gave you. We're talking about here a life-threatening illness. And it should have said mutter. But since we use the terminology chayev, so then the opposite, so to say, is tana, nami, resha, potter, even though it should have said mutter. So it's really just for semantics, for having the parallelism over here. Where it says, well, wait a second. Well, the Tani Rav Shaya said, in Bishul HaCholish Yishon, if you're doing it over here so that the sick person should be able to fall asleep, lo yichabe, you're not allowed to put it out. V'im kiba, part of Rav. But if you did put it out, you are over in Issa D'Rabbanon. So what's going on over here? Sick person, you should be allowed to do this. Why is it only in Issa? Why is it in Issa D'Rabbanon? Should be had to gomer. Where it says, no. This brice of Rabbi Yoshai is not the same as our Mishnah. This brice is talking about Chai b'chol shem b'sakana for Rabbi Shimoni, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimoni. You're not Chai b'chatas. Rabbi Shimon would say you're not Chai b'chatas, but it's still lost in the Rabbanon. But Rabbi Yehuda would have said you're Chai b'chatas. Then he asked the following shiloh. Since we dealt a little bit here with Pikuach Nevashos, we have a very famous shiloh that was asked. Shol she'ela zu le'ela may Rav Tanchum demin Navy. The Rabbeinu Chananel says the proper way to pronounce this word is navy. He actually spells it out. If you look at the last two lines of the Rabbeinu Chananel, so he says that this was asked in the place called navy. He spells it out. In any event, he asked the following shiloh. Mahu lechabos butzino denura. Are you allowed to go and be mechabe to extinguish over here a candle? Mikame b'isha b'shabota, in front of a sick person. Now here we're talking about a deathly sick person on Shabbos. So the answer is obviously yes. However, as Rashi is going to tell us on Daf Lamed Omud Beis, Rabbi Tanchum here was talking to a group of illiterate people and people that weren't very knowledgeable. And he was giving a drash over here for these Ameya Oretz. Vayutzrichin hadarshanin limshol cheslovavim. He had to go and draw their hearts out, so to say. He had to give them a really great oratorical drash over here. And therefore, he goes off on this huge digression. And therefore, it says as follows. He said, Pasach v'yomer, he's starting to give this beautiful drasha to all the people. He says, An Shlomo, you Shlomo HaMelech, On Choch Moscha, where's your great wisdom? Od Suchlusanusach, where's your great Bina? Rashi explains over here, Suchlusana is your Bina. You're able to be understanding something from something else. That's bina. Maybe dover mitoch dover. So you are the smartest person that ever lived, Shlomo Melech. So lo daich shedvorecha sosrin divido avich. It's not enough. It's not bad enough. It's bad enough, so to say, that your words are arguing with the words that your father said. Belish shedvorecha sosrin zezu. But you even argue with yourself. What in the world is going on? So Rav Tanchan explains as follows: Dover avich amar. Your father said lo amazing aluka that the dead people can't praise you, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And yet you, Shlomo HaMelech, you said, Yad Tamris, V'shabeach ani es ha-meisim shekvar meisu. You, Shlomo HaMelech, you said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising the dead who've already died. Now, that's a strange expression. A beautiful shot I once heard from Rabbi Kelemer Shlita. And I think he said it over the name of Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky Zatzal, a great, great, great Godel. And he said that this is referring to the people, like, for example, in the Holocaust, Rachman Utslan in Auschwitz, B'shabeach ani es ha-meisim shekvar meisu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising those people who were already dead while they were still alive, and yet they still served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, in any event, Shlomo HaMelech says over here, B'shabeach ani es ha-meisim shekvar meisu. So, in other words, David said, Lo ha-meisim ya-luka. They can't praise you. And Shlomo says, the dead, they're even better than the living. And then you, Shlomo HaMelech, you changed it around. But a living dog is better than a dead lion. So what in the world, Rabbi Tanchan says, are you, Shlomo HaMelech, saying? First of all, you disagree with your father. Then you disagree with yourself. So he says, Lo kasha. It all makes very good sense. When David said, Lo amesim aluka, when David said that the dead can't praise you, this is what David HaMelech said. Lo imasakodim Torah mitzvos kodesh yamas. A person has to engage himself in Torah mitzvos before he dies, because nebuch, shekiv, and shemes, once you die, batal min haTorah min haMitzvos. The dead are unable to do mitzvos. Ve'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu shevach bo. And therefore, there's no praise or honor that comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a dead person. This is what Rabbi Yochanan explained. What does the pasuk mean when it says "bameisim chavshi"? So, how are the dead free? Chavshi means free. So, kivin shemes adam. So, it means that when a person nebuch passes away, nasa chavshi min haTorah min haMitzvos, he no longer is able to do Torah mitzvos. He's quote free. Only a dead person is free from doing mitzvos. A live person, Baruch Hashem, can do mitzvos. So, therefore, that's what he's referring to. Lo ameisim yahalukah. Now, Shlomo seemed to say the opposite. I praise the dead that have already died. In other words, they're better than the ones that are alive. What's that talking about? When Chai Yisrael Nebuch sinned with the Egel Azov, so Amad Moshe Levi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgive Chai Yisrael. But Hashem wasn't ready to forgive the Chai Yisrael. Lo nana, Moshe Rabbeinu was only answered, Ukhisha Omar, Zechor li Avram Yitzchak li Yisrael Avadech, only when he invoked the Zechus Avos. Oh, now, all of a sudden, Klai Yisrael is going to be forgiven. Miad nana, he was now answered. So therefore, V'lo Yofi Omar Shlomo, so isn't Shlomo correct in saying, B'shabeach Nisa Mesu Shabar Mesu? Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest person who ever lived. And yet, he wasn't able to save Klai Yisrael until he invoked the Zechus of the Avos, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So therefore, the Mesim, they were the ones that did it. Alternatively, you can explain it in the following way, that a king, an earthly king, a king of flesh and blood, he makes a gzera. You know, some people listen, some people don't. Sofik mekayim osa, sofik ein mekayim osa. You have black markets all the time. People don't listen to the king's rules. And even if they do fulfill it, while he's the king, they fulfill it. But mostly mekayim osa. Once he dies, everyone says, now back to normal. Moshe Rabbeinu goes out comic zeros, and yet look at the difference between a regular earthly king and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu died long, long time ago, and he goes through many zeros. V'tikin kama takonos, and he did many, many takonos for Klal Yisrael. And to this day, v'kayam saying li'olam olam yalamim, and they're still around, and we follow exactly every takona that Moshe Rabbeinu said. Therefore, v'lo yofi Shlomo, didn't Shlomo say correctly? Shabeach nisam esim v'gomer. So the dead Moshe Rabbeinu carries much more weight than the live kings of today. Another explanation. This goes in accord with what Rehuda Rav said. What did they say? This is what the pasuk means when it says, "Asei imi os letova v'yirus anai v'yevoshu." So David HaMelech is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Amar David HaMelech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mochuli al osu oven. This pasuk is referring to the quote, sin that David did with Bathsheba. Now, the Gemara elsewhere tells that he really didn't sin with her. What he did was, on his madrega, something that was incorrect, but he technically didn't sin with her. And anyway, he says that David Melch sinned is making a mistake. But in any event, he says, Mocholi alosu avon, forgive me for that inappropriate action that I did with Bathsheba, that he took her to be his wife, even though she technically was possibly still married, although she really wasn't. She was divorced, and her husband, in fact, died. So he says, I want you to forgive me for that sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've done tshuva. Please forgive me. So I'm alo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mocha lecha, I forgive you for it. Fine. So now we have the pasuk. Amar lo, David says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asei mi os b'chayai. It's good enough, thank you. Asei mi os l'tova, that you're forgiving me for my sin. So, but now, do it in my lifetime. Asei mi os b'chayai. Show everybody that you forgive me. I'm alone. No, b'chayecha ini modia. I won't do this publicly while you're alive. B'chayi Shlomo bincha ini modia. But when your son Shlomo is the king, everybody will know that I forgave you. What happened? Kishubon Shlomo is Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. After David died, Shlomo took over and built the Beis HaMikdash. Piki shlach this Aron leveis kodesh kadoshim. He wanted to bring the Aron inside to the kodesh kadoshim. He wanted to bring it inside the Beis HaMikdash. Dov kusharim zebzeb. But the gates closed and didn't let him in. Now, Omer Shlomo, Esav Yabar Nanos, he said 24 tefillos, some say connected the 24 brachos we have, the Shmon Esri and a Tainis, that we were in trouble, so we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Others say it was 24 kapitel of Tehillim. Velo Nana, he wasn't answered. Pazav Yomer, so he said this last kapitel, and he said, Su Sharim Rashichem, Yidasu Pisri Olam, Yavo Melech HaKavo. He said, open up the gates and let the king in. Now, the gates, so to say, the gates wanted to swallow him and said, you, we should open up for you? You think you're the king? Which king are you talking about? Someone Louis says, no, not me. Hashem, he's the Gibor. I'm talking about Hashem. And then Chazal Yomar, he said, he told the gates again, let your gates be open to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchim, Lochim to go through. Who is this Melech HaKavod? Hashem Tzvokus, Melech HaKavod Selo. It's to allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu inside. Let me bring the luchos inside to the Aron inside the Kodesh Kedoshim. So Gemara says, "Lo nana," but the gates didn't open. They didn't try to swallow him up anymore, but they didn't open. However, then Shlomo Melech said, "Kevin Shomar Hashem Elokim Al Toshei Pnei Mishichecha Zochru Lechazdei David Abdecha. Please, Hashem, don't turn away from me now. Remember, David HaMelech." Oh, Miyad Nana. Now, immediately when he said that, the gates opened up. And at that moment, Bosashon Nefru Pnei called Sone David Kishule Kedera. At that moment, all of David's enemies, they were embarrassed. So Rashi brings down over here, who is this talking about? So this is talking about Mishpachas Shol Shimi V'chayotzi, but all the people that were enemies of David during his lifetime, Shimi Ben Gera, and the children of Shol, they were fighting with David. So other people like that, and therefore they all knew. And everybody knew that David was forgiven for the quote sin that he had with Bathsheba. Therefore, isn't it better for me to say, look, I was able to get in only because of my father, David HaMelech, who is no longer alive? Gemara says, now we understand the pasuk. On the eighth day after they built the Beis HaMikdash, they were rejoicing all that time, including Yom Kippur, as we'll see. And they gave brachos to the king. And they went back to their houses, happy and filled with a happy heart. All the goodness that was done to David HaMelech, that everybody now realized that David HaMelech was how great he was, and his sin was forgiven. Now, we darsh in the Pasukim a little bit more in detail. They went to their tents. What does that mean? Shematsu neshoseim v'tara. They went to their houses. The wives are referred to as the Ikaris Abayis, the tent of the house. Shematsu neshoseim v'tara. And their wives were in a state of tahara, and therefore they were very happy. Smeichim, what does it mean, Smeichim? Shenenu Miziv HaShchina, that they were delighting over here in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were basking in the glory of the Shechina. V'tovei Lev, what does it mean? It says they were Tovei Lev. Shenisabru Nishoseim Shukalech V'yechav Yodazocha, that their wives became pregnant and they all gave birth to boys. Al Kolatova Shirosa Shalom David Abdo, what does that mean? Shemoch Halo Aloso Oven, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave David for that sin with Bathsheba. Well, the Yisrael Amo, what does that mean? The Achlu Avon Yom Kippur, that the Klai Yisrael was also forgiven, because I just pointed out, during these 8 days of the Chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash, it went up until Sukkot. So that means they fasted normally on Yom Kippur, but this year they didn't fast on Yom Kippur. And therefore, in this situation, they were forgiven for their eating on Yom Kippur, for not fasting on Yom Kippur. Gemara continues, says Udukarma Shlomo. When Shlomo says over here, Kila Kelev Chai Hu Tov Mino Aryameis. Now, how do we understand this point? He says that a live dog is better than a dead lion. So that goes to the Rav Yehuda of Arav. That goes like the opinion of Yehuda Arav. What is that? Rav Yehuda Arav. My decision. What does pasuk mean? In Tehillim, Hodieni Hashem kitziu midas shamayim mahi edom mechodel oni. What does that mean over here? So Amar David LeYakosh Baruchu. Rebbeinu Shalom. Hodieni Hashem kitzi. That part of the pasuk means Hashem, let me know when I'm going to die. My kates. So Hashem said, no. Zeri milafon Hashem modiim kitzu. I don't tell anybody shalbos of edom. I don't tell people when they're going to die. Umidas shamayim mahi. So David said to Hakadosh Baruchu, at least tell me how long I'm going to live. So Gemara says, no, no, I don't tell you how long you're going to live. You're not going to know the day you're going to die, and you're not going to know how long you're going to live. So he said to Hashem, at least, at least tell me on what day of the week I'm going to die. So Amalav said, okay, that I'll tell you. B'Shabbos Tomas, you're going to die on Shabbos. So almost Miach B'Shabbos, so David didn't want to die on Shabbos. He said, let me die on Sunday. So Amalav Hashem said, sorry, I can't. It's time for your son to take over. And we have a rule. I don't let one king overtake the other king by even a split amount, any small amount, more than he's supposed to. So therefore, no, you're supposed to end your reign on Shabbos. Shlomo's supposed to start on Shabbos, and I won't let it go till Sunday. So David said, okay, you don't want me to extend into his reign, so I'll stop early, almost be every Shabbos. I don't want to die on Shabbos. David didn't want to die on Shabbos because he felt that his body would be left out there as a muktza item, and he didn't want to die on Shabbos. He didn't want others to say, so Hashem says that he didn't want all the mourners over there to be sad on Shabbos, right? They don't want Shlomo HaMelech to be in Aninus on Shabbos. So he said, let me die on Friday. So Gemara says, I'm alone. No. Ki tov yom chatzirecha me'elef me'olef. What does that mean? Tov liyom echo chato yoshev osik b'torah me'elef olos sh'osid l'shomo bin chalakri l'funai agabi yamizbeach. Hashem tells David that I would rather have you one day of your life rather than 1,000 korbanos that your son Shlomo is going to bring to me in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, your being around is worth it to me more than anything else. So I don't want you to die on Friday when you're supposed to die on Shabbos. Turn to the Amud Beis. Therefore, kol yom d'Shabbos, every Shabbos, what would David do? Have a yosef v'goris kula yom. He would sit and learn all day. And this way the Malach HaMavis wouldn't be able to have shlita over him. The Malach HaMavis can't kill him. How yom the boy the manach nashi, finally it was the Shabbos that he was supposed to die. Kol Malach HaMavis kamei, the Malach HaMavis comes, and David's plan was working perfectly well. The Malach HaMavis couldn't kill him. The Torah was megan. The lo havi pasuk pumi begirsi. He didn't stop learning for a second. So Omar, the Malach HaMavis said, my evidently, how could I get it to stop learning? So to say, he thought, and he said, Havalei bustano achori beise. So behind David's palace over there, there were a bunch of trees over there. There was an orchard over there, behind the house. So what did the Malach HaMavis do? Also, Malach HaMavis saw lekubach shbilani. So the Malach HaMavis went, and he, so to say, went up into the trees, and he started making noise over there. He had the branches shaking. David wants to go and see what's going on, but he doesn't stop learning. So Nafal Hamerze, he goes out while he's still learning to go see and have a solid bedarga. But as he's walking and learning, going to see what's happening, ifchiz darga mituse, one of the steps over here breaks underneath him, and ishtik, therefore he stops for a second, he's stopping his learning because his footing is lost. The noch nafshe, and at that moment the Malach Bava said shlit over him and he died. Now, Shalach Shlomo lebe midrash. Shlomo now is in Aninus, and he sends to the base midrash. What should I do? Abba Meis, my father passed away. Umutu b'chama, and he's out in the sun, and his body in the Mediterranean sun is going to be nebuch. It's going to decay. Uklavishu beis avarevim, and the dogs in my father's house are also hungry. Now, the Mefarshim bring down. Rav Elazar Moshe Harwitz, he brings down, and that goes in the back of the Gemara, that he says that Shlomo was an onan, and he didn't know if he was allowed to feed the animals, because normally you have to feed the animals because there's a chiv to feed the animals, so he didn't know if he was able to feed the animals. So he has in the base medrash these two things. My father is imukta, how can I move him? And am I allowed to go feed the animals, which is a mitzvah to go feed your animals, if I'm an onan? So Moshe said, so what should I do? He asked them. Shochalei, so the base medrash they sent back, chatoch nevela v'hanach le'aklav. Yeah, you're allowed to cut up a nevela, which was prepared for the dogs. It wasn't prepared for anything else because it was already dead before Shabbos, and therefore you can cut it up and give it to them because you're allowed to feed your animals. And as regards to your father, he's muktza. Hanachalav kikar otinok v'tautlo. You can go put a piece of bread or a child on the body. This way, you're lifting up the body, so to say, to carry the child or the bread, and that way you're allowed to do this. Many bring down that that's a chumra. You technically could have moved the body. In any event, that's what they told him. V'lo yofo amr Shlomo. So now we understand what Shlomo said, that ki lekelev chai who tov min ha'ayi ha'meis. David, his father, was an ayeh, but he's dead. He's not as good as the dogs. You can feed the dogs over here, but you can't never do anything for David that he's dead. All of this was the agadita that Rabbi Tanchum told the people. And now he said, Ulinyan Shela Disha'ilna Kadamechon. And that question, now the Gemara uses the Lashon Rashi, says he's being very, very humble. He said, the question that I asked of you, they really asked of him, but he was very humble, and he said to them, and now the question that I asked of you, are you allowed to go put out a candle to save somebody's life? So, ner kriya ner. A candle is called a candle.